The first thing we want to do is define our term. The word Sabbath, in this case it's the verb form, the word Sabbath, Shabbat, means to cease or to rest. To cease or to rest. Now, it is recorded in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, where it says that God rested, and there's our word, Shabbat, that God rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Now, that's, again, just descriptive. It's just simply telling us what God did, that he just simply rested from his creative work. So that is, God ceased his creative activity of the universe, the earth, and mankind. Now, from Genesis until the forming of the nation of Israel, we should understand that God did not obligate anyone to keep the Sabbath as a special day of rest. You can read through the book of Genesis, you won't find any Sabbath observance, anybody keeping the Sabbath. It really did not become obligatory until Exodus. But this is after the nation of Israel has been formed and delivered from Egyptian bondage. Go with me over to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus 16. Exodus chapter 16. And this is the first time in which there is a command to observe the Sabbath. And this command to observe the Sabbath, again, we must realize that it was given to the nation of Israel and was going to be part of the Mosaic Law. Now in Exodus 16:23 it says, "Then he said to them, this is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord." By the way, does anybody have a different translation? Mine says a Sabbath observance. Does anybody have anything? Okay, so what translation do you have? Is it the NIV?
Yes.
Okay, and it calls it what? A day of rest?
Sabbath rest.
A Sabbath rest, okay. What do you?
ESV, it says solemn.
A solemn rest. It's the word Shabbat. But some translations will call it a day of rest. The NASB calls it a Sabbath observance. He goes on to say, Moses, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. And then he says, bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning. So they put it aside until the morning as Moses had ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was any worm in it. And Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. And of course, even though Moses instructs them, they're disobedient. You can read verse 27. It says, and it came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And then the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you bread for 2 days. On the sixth day, remain every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Now, this is the first occurrence where, again, keeping the Sabbath was made obligatory, was mandated upon the nation of Israel. By the way, it was only upon the nation of Israel. It was not for the surrounding peoples or nations. That when we think of the Mosaic Law, we must think of it in terms of a theocracy, that God is the ruler. And as the ruler, he's going to establish law. And when you see the law set forth, the 613 commands, it is God's commands to his people. But they are a theocratic nation where God is their ruler, a theocracy. They're the only theocracy to ever exist in the history of the human race. And again, the Sabbath was mandated here. The keeping of the Sabbath was a part of the Mosaic law given to Israel and was to give them rest from their labor. So now go with me over to Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Now this is part of the Ten Commandments. By the way, this passage here is also used to support a literal 6 day of creation, a 24-hour day of creation. And you can see that here. But starting in Exodus 20, verse 8, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And holy here means to be set apart. It was a day of rest from their activity. And it was a day in which they were basically not to engage in labor. And one could argue that it was a time for them to devote themselves to the Lord, to reflect on His goodness. But he says in verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And so God here establishes the work week for them. And it's a 6 day work week. And it would be Sunday through Friday. And then on the Sabbath, at sundown, they were to cease. But he says in verse 10, "But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you." So it extends even to the servants, it extends even to the animals. That there is not to be any labor. And I even heard one commentator argue that observance of the Sabbath was ceasing from any labor that brought profit. And this was his passage for that. Because when you think about the work week, you're thinking about working to what end? For making a buck, right? A profit. You're thinking about the profit from your labor. And so the Sabbath was a ceasing from labor that brings profit. Now, that makes sense in a lot of ways, because when you get into the New Testament, you see examples where Jesus healed people on the Sabbath. Well, he was doing, I mean, one might call it work, okay, because he was healing people. And yet the Pharisees get all flustered over it, and they're just like, oh, you know, Jesus is healing on the Sabbath. Stop working, Jesus. You know, and they use that as a point of leverage to try to argue him. And to show him as being one who did not abide by the law. Well, he did abide by the law, and he's gonna make that case. We're gonna look at some passages here in a minute. Right, and that's exactly right. So Sherry said that what they were upset about was that what Jesus wasn't breaking the law. He was not in compliance with their traditions that they had added to the law. Because they had created all these additional restrictions on the Sabbath. And Jesus didn't follow their additional restrictions. Now, in their mind, if Jesus didn't follow their rabbinic restrictions, then in their mind, that was equal to you're not abiding by the law. And Jesus challenges that. And by the way, do we see that in churches today? Do we see where people come along and they add traditions that are not really biblical? But they put it on the same, they give it the same weight of authority as Scripture itself. And sure we do. And sometimes that becomes a point of conflict, doesn't it? Okay, so going on here, the Sabbath was also a sign of the Mosaic Covenant. Go with me over to Exodus 31. Exodus 31. We'll look at verses 12 through 17. By the way, again, when we think about the Mosaic Law, we should think in terms of it as a covenant. And remember, we've looked at the biblical covenants. We've looked at the Abraham. We've looked at the Noahic covenant. And what was the sign of the Noahic covenant? It was the rainbow, right? And then we looked at the Abrahamic covenant. What was the sign of the Abrahamic covenant? Well, it was circumcision. Was the sign of the Abrahamic covenant. And we've looked at the new covenant, which is what we are under. And the sign of the new covenant is the red juice and the unleavened bread. But the sign of the Mosaic covenant was the Sabbath. And so by observing the Sabbath, you were, in effect, identifying yourself with the Mosaic covenant. And so in Exodus 31, starting in verse 12, it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall assuredly observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore, you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For six days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath." And that's where the idea that it's not only a day of rest, but a day of celebration. To celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and who? The sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed. So again, we understand that the Sabbath was a sign of the Mosaic covenant. And that God pronounced the death penalty upon all who profaned the Sabbath. We just read that. Now, biblical violations, where if you were to read through the scripture, biblical violations of the Sabbath included gathering manna, the section we read in Exodus 16, kindling a fire in one's home, Exodus 35, gathering wood, Numbers 15, 32 to 35, carrying a load, Jeremiah 17, 21 to 22, or engaging in business. And this is what we see over in Nehemiah. Let me go over to Nehemiah. Let's see. Second Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah chapter 13... In verse 15, Nehemiah is going to see Israelites engaging in business, and he's gonna put a stop to it. He says in verse 15, "In those days I saw in Judah some who were treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sacks of grain." Well, this is labor. Again, it's the idea of labor for profit. So they were treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sacks of grain and loading them on donkeys, as well as wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads. And they brought them into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. So I admonished them on the day they sold food. Also, men of Tyre were living there who imported fish and all kinds of merchandise and sold them to the sons of Judah on the Sabbath, even in Jerusalem. Then I reprimanded the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What is this evil thing you are doing by profaning the Sabbath day?" It's a clear violation. But they were putting their profit above obedience to the Lord. And he says in verse 18, "Did not your fathers do the same, so that our God brought on us and on this city all this trouble? Yet you are adding to the wrath of Israel by profaning the Sabbath. It came about that just as it grew dark at the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I commanded that the doors should be shut and that they should not open them until after the Sabbath. Then I stationed some of my servants at the gates so that no load would enter on the Sabbath day. Once or twice the traders and merchants of every kind of merchandise spent the night outside Jerusalem." They were probably mourning because they couldn't engage in business and make a profit. But he says in verse 21, "Then I warned them and said to them, 'Why do you spend the night in front of the wall? If you do so again, I will use force against you.' From that time on, they did not come on the Sabbath." So we can see where here Nehemiah takes the word of the Lord seriously. And as a leader here in Israel, he's going to enforce the law, is what he's doing. But again, we can see how the keeping of the Sabbath was to be a ceasing from labor. And in this case, like in other passages, labor that brought profit. Now, when we jump into the New Testament, we see where Jesus has some conflict with the religious leaders surrounding the Sabbath. And the first thing we want to point out or understand is that Jesus, in Mark 2:27, declared the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. I'll say that again. That the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. In other words, it was for man's benefit that he rest on this day. But the Pharisees had turned it around and basically made the Sabbath, made man for the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath was twisted in its understanding and application. However, over time, Jewish religious leaders again invented additional commands for the Sabbath. And it was these additions that made the Sabbath a burden rather than a blessing. And Jesus, as the Lord of the Sabbath, declared that acts of necessity and compassion were permitted on the Sabbath. Let me say that again. As Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus declared that acts of necessity and compassion were permitted on the Sabbath. So let's look at a few passages. Go with me over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verses 10 through 14. Now let me start in verse 9. Well, actually, verse 8, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." So he identifies himself as such. In Matthew 12:9, he says, "Departing from there, he went into their synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus." And notice the question that they bring up. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Now, really, the reason they asked that was that they might accuse him. So it was a question designed to trap him. Verse 11, "And he said to them, What man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out?" You see, now this was an act of necessity. It was also an act of compassion to get this animal, this sheep, out of the pit. And he's arguing here from the lesser to the greater. In verse 12, he says, "How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." And then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand," and he stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the other. Now this guy's thinking, great, right? And he's pleased at what the Lord has just done for him. But notice verse 14, "But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him." Well, it's a lovely group of people, huh? Go with me over to Luke chapter 13. Luke 13. Verses 10 through 17. Now, Jesus exposed the hypocrisy of the religious leadership, and this is what he's doing here. In Luke 13:10, it says, And he was teaching in one of the synagogues," and again, notice Luke tells us it was on the Sabbath. So this repetition of events occurring on the Sabbath. It says, "And there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all." Verse 12, "When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, 'Woman, you are freed from your sickness.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God." I can imagine so. "But the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the crowd in response, 'There are 6 days in which work should be done, so come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day.'" I mean, this guy,
it's hard to imagine people that think this way.
Verse 15, but the Lord answered him and said to him, you hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? Again, one could argue an act of necessity, an act of compassion, right? Verse 16, he's going to again argue from the lesser to the greater. And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? As he said this, all his opponents were being humiliated, and the entire crowd was rejoicing over all the glorious things being done by him. Let's look at another passage. Go over to Luke 14, verses 1 through 6. It happened that when he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, they were watching him closely. And there in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Anybody have a different translation? It's kind of the picture of edema is what it is. A swollen legs, a fluid that builds up in the lower extremities of the legs.
The swelling of his body is all I
have. A what?
Swelling of his body.
Okay.
IV.
Yes, sir?
Swollen with blood.
Okay. That's a good translation. Verse, yours says dropsy? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what mine says too. Verse 3, and Jesus answered and spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Now, he's putting the question to him. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Of course, they didn't want to answer, and the text says, but they kept silent. And he took hold of him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, which one of you will have a son or an ox fall into a well and will not immediately pull him out on a Sabbath day? So again, acts of necessity, acts of compassion. Verse 6, and they could make no reply to this. And then our last section is going to be over in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verses 19 through 24. John 7:19. Now Jesus here talking to those who were wanting to kill him. And he says in verse 19, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you carries out the law? Why do you seek to kill me? And the crowd answered, you have a demon who seeks to kill you. And Jesus answered them, I did one deed, and you all marvel. For this reason, Moses has given you circumcision, not because it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And on the Sabbath, you circumcise a man. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses will not be broken, are you angry with me because I made an entire man well on the Sabbath? And then he says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So Jesus repeatedly shows that it is permissible to do acts of necessity and acts of compassion on the Sabbath. But again, the religious Pharisees of the day had so twisted it, and they tried to use it as a point of leverage to attack Jesus. So Jesus kept the Sabbath as the Mosaic law prescribed, but not according to rabbinic tradition, for which he and his disciples were wrongly attacked. And I think we see that in these passages we've looked at here. And then the last sentence here is just that the Sabbath was obligatory for Israel alone. That the Sabbath was obligatory for Israel alone and only for the duration of the Mosaic covenant, which has been replaced with a new covenant. We are under a new covenant. I mean, if you look at your Bible, I mean, the very simplest breakdown is there is the old what? Testament. And the word testament is just an old English word for covenant. And so we have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament. And we are not under the Old Testament as they understood. Now, that's a really an oversimplified way of breaking down the Bible, but it's the most commonly understood. And people think in terms of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and we are under the New Covenant. Now, that's a different discussion, but just to point out for the sake of our study this evening, that again, when we understand what the Sabbath is, and we understand that we are not obligated to keep the Sabbath, it's important for us to understand that. I have run into Christians who have tried to keep the Sabbath. Seventh-day Adventists are known for trying to keep the Sabbath. Churches of God are also groups of Christians who try to keep the Sabbath. I used to go to seminary when I was at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. There was a girl that I knew who was part of a very small group of called Sabbatarian Baptists, in which they identified as Baptists who sought to keep the Sabbath observance. And there's, you know, they tried to make it obligatory for the Christian to say that we are obligated to keep it. And it's just, there's just simply, it just simply cannot be argued effectively. I mean, it can be argued, it just cannot be argued effectively. So let's talk about the Sabbath in the present church age. So going on to the Sabbath in the present church age, Christians are not under the Mosaic law. And we should understand this. Now, we are under law. You know, we live in a dispensation that is marked by grace. Now, there was grace under the Mosaic law, and there's law in the dispensation of grace. And we have a lot of laws, if you read through the New Testament. There's a lot of commands. But Romans 6:14 makes it very clear that we are not under law, that is, under the Mosaic law, but we are under grace as a system. But rather, we are under what the New Testament calls the law of Christ. The law of Christ, 1 Corinthians 9:21 and Galatians 6:2, both make it very clear that we are under the law of Christ. Now, God's commands for Christians living in church age, living in the church age, do not obligate us to keep the Sabbath. Christians are warned, in fact, in some places, Galatians 4, 9, and 10, Christians are actually warned against setting aside certain days, especially if they think that doing so will merit God's favor. And often those who want to keep the Sabbath do so because they feel like they are forfeiting God's blessings if they don't keep the Mosaic law. And that's a problem. It's a way of thinking. Under the law, under the Mosaic law, one kept the law in order to have the blessing. Now, you can read about that in Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 makes that very clear. If you obey, you're blessed. If you disobey, you're cursed. Okay? Again, talking to the nation of Israel. But why do we obey? Do we obey for the blessing?
No.
We obey because we are blessed. And that differentiates the church from the nation of Israel. And you can see an example of that over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Where Paul says, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." In other words, we are to walk in a manner that pleases the Lord because of our calling, because we have been blessed. Ephesians 1:3 makes that very clear, where it says that He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Well, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Yes, ma'am.
John 14:15 says, "If you love me, you will obey my commands."
Yes.
So
yes.
But
why do we love Him? See, now this raises a good issue, okay? Jesus says, "It is true, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments." But why do we love Him? Amen. 1 John 4:11 says we love, and why? Because He first loved us. So our love is not to earn his love, it is a response to his love. You see, because we have tasted of the goodness of God, because we have tasted of his love, then it motivates us to love. But that's the order. We love. Why? Because he first loved us. So our love, our obedience is a thank you response to what he has already accomplished for us, to what he has already demonstrated to us. And that's a very different mindset. Okay? So let me read this, and I have a quote here from Dr. Chafer. He says, following the resurrection of Christ, there is no record in the New Testament that the Sabbath was observed by any believer, even in error. Doubtless, the multitude of Judaized Christians did observe the Sabbath, but no record of such observance was permitted to appear in the Word of God. In other words, the Scripture is just silent about it. In like manner, following the resurrection of Christ, there is no injunction given to Jew, Gentile, or Christian to observe the Sabbath, nor is Sabbath breaking once mentioned among the numerous lists of possible sins. If you look at what the New Testament says, and we'll look at a few verses here, is that we see that the early church chose to meet on the first day of the week. Go to Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And again, what we read in the Scripture concerning the gathering on the first day of the week is just simply descriptive, not prescriptive. And you know what I mean by that? It's just simply a statement of what they did. It's not that they were commanded to keep the first day of the week, nor are we commanded to keep the first day of the week. Really, when you think about the first day of the week on Sunday, it's thought, and again, I can't be dogmatic on this because there's no scripture that says it, but it's thought that the early church met on the first day of the week in recognition of the Lord's resurrection. And of course, you know, we as Christians, we celebrate Resurrection Sunday one day out of the year, right? We call it Easter Sunday. Really, it's more properly called Resurrection Sunday. But the early church, it's thought, met on Sunday and celebrated the Lord's resurrection every Sunday. That it wasn't just the setting aside of once a year. It was every Sunday was a recognition of this is the day that the Lord was resurrected. And so when you read in passages like Acts 20, verse 7, it says, on the first day of the week, and again, the first day of the week is Sunday. It says, on the first day of the week, when we, and this is here Luke including himself with these other believers, he uses the word we here, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day and so on. But this is the church gathering together on the first day of the week. And he's just simply talking matter of fact. 1 Corinthians 16.
I've got disciples instead of we.
Oh, it says disciples.
When the disciples came together to break bread. Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
Uh-huh. No,
okay.
The first day of the week.
Yeah. But it's still believers, I think, is the point there. Now, when you're reading 1 Corinthians, you get the idea that this was a common practice in the early church. That Paul could write to them and he could talk about something that was a common practice to them. And he says in 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of the week, or on the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper so that no collection may be made when I come. Now, Paul was here talking about a promised collection that he was going to get from them. But again, he recognizes that they gathered on what day of the week? First day of the week. So when you come together, he says, that each one of you is to put aside and to save as he may prosper. So again, it's just a recognition of what they did. And again, it's possible that they did this, gathered on the first day of the week, because it marked the day of the Lord's resurrection. Again, however, there is no divine mandate found in Scripture that requires us to gather on Sunday. Rather, the Christian is free to observe all days alike, as every day is an opportunity to love and to serve the Lord. And go with me over to Romans 14. Romans 14, verse 5, Paul says, one person regards one day above another. Another person regards every day alike. Now that's me. To me, every day is the Lord's day. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But the fact that Paul puts this within the context of each person being fully convinced in his own mind, that if you want to set aside a certain day, I mean, if you want to gather on Sunday and be consistent with that, and that's a day that you recognize as a day of service to the Lord, that's fine. As a Christian, you're free to do that. If you even wanted to meet on Saturday, if you even wanted to set that aside, that's fine. You're free to do that. But you're not free to place that as a burden upon other Christians or to look down upon them. Because he goes on, if you look at verse 10 and following, he says, why do you judge your brother? You know, why are you going to be critical to your brother? Because really, every person is free in their own mind. It's called Christian liberty. You can celebrate one day, or you can celebrate every day. In other words, it's up to you. It's like going out and buying a car. You want a red car, a blue car, a pink car? What do you want? I mean, the choice is yours. There's not anything set forth that says you must observe this day. And so, you know, there is a lot of confusion that surrounds the Sabbath. So hopefully this little study has cleared the air on some of that. And it may have even raised other questions. I don't know. So...